Hello, and thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BikeRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.BikeRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Carla L. Garrett, and she is author of Bouncing Back After Dropping the Ball, 18 Lessons on the Journey of Forgiveness. Carla is taking her message of forgiveness to greater heights in her newest novel, Bouncing Back After Dropping the Ball. It is a mixture of a novel and a how-to book, specifically a book on how to forgive. The story involves a married woman who learns that her husband is 16 years, has a secret life, secret woman, secret kids, secret condos, etc., and her struggle not to kill him, literally. Her desire to end his life grows as his behavior worsens, as he exacts his own revenge against her for deciding to leave him. Instead, she eventually learns to redirect her rage after acknowledging her extended anger has changed her in unflattering ways, and embraces the notion of forgiveness. Forgiveness, she discovers, is neither an intuitive nor easy process, but she becomes the beneficiary of wonderful rewards as a result of her hard work. The book is designed to help those who have been betrayed to get through the process without destroying themselves, spiritually, mentally, or emotionally, or others, and shares 18 life lessons to get them to the point of true forgiveness. For more information, you can visit Carla's website, which is carlalgarrett.com, and I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Carla to the show. Good day, Carla. Thanks for joining me today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Happy Friday to you.
Yay, TGIF. Yeah, it is. Yeah, really great. So, well, you know, it is really interesting. One thing that I've found fascinating is when I schedule shows, a lot of times I do it like months in advance, and you know, the people kind of pick the dates. Well, yesterday, just coincidentally, we spent a lot of time on yesterday's show talking about forgiveness. I mean, so to me, there must be something in the air that we really need to talk about this topic.
Absolutely. It's something much needed.
Absolutely. So, you know, let's start, first of all, if you wouldn't mind, let's tell the listeners a little bit about, you know, your journey, you know, and as a novelist, and what led you to writing this book.
Well, initially what led me to writing this book was that I had undergone some upset in my life, dealing with betrayal from someone who professed to love me. And having to get through that process, and again, dealing with someone who I've been involved with for 20 years of my life, was a little bit of a hard thing to go through. And I just remember when I was going through that process of trying not to end his life, which sometimes in these sort of situations you entertain such horrible thoughts, and I did as well. I had to try to figure out a way to get past that without hurting this particular individual. For the upset he caused me, and the pain and the distress and all that kind of good stuff. And after not being able to answers on how to do it other than a blanket kind of commandment that we should forgive those who have wronged us in some way, I just felt frustrated because I wanted to be able to say, okay, I forgive you, and the pain would suddenly go away. And that just didn't happen, not in my case. It wasn't, you know, something as simple as somebody stepping on your foot at the mall. It was something that was really life-altering. And so I wrote the book after going through my own journey of, you know, discovering, you know, what to do and what not to do on this journey to forgiveness. And hopefully I can shortcut somebody else's process who's going through the process of trying to forgive someone who has betrayed them horribly. And so that was my purpose in writing the book. And hopefully it can relieve some, you know, some hard times for somebody else.
Yeah, make it easier. Cause, well, you know, I didn't realize that this was, I mean, this was a personal journey of yours. So, boy, that makes it even all that much more relevant, you know, because of the fact of, I mean, you having gone through that. So, I mean, you know this stuff personally and exactly how it comes out in life.
Oh, absolutely. And when I wrote the book, although it's written in the way where it's considered a fictional work, it is based on true events. And, you know, because it's really important to, you know, to protect the names of the quote-unquote innocent. So you have to change descriptions and things of that nature. So that makes it a fictional account, but it is based on real-life drama. And so, yes, you're right. I do know of what I speak.
Wow, that's great. Well, you know, I want to talk just a little bit in the beginning of this. We're going to be going for 45 minutes today, listeners, just to let you know. So if anyone who's listening would like to call in and ask any questions of Carla, you can call in at 619-789-4359, and we'll take questions right after about halfway through the show. Also, those of you who are listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions for Carla, you would like for me to pose to her, just type them in there, and we'll get to them in due time. But okay, well, let's just first start with, I mean, one of the things that, you know, as I went through and read about the, actually, what I did is I went through Amazon and read some of the reviews, you know, and you have some wonderful reviews of your book. It was really interesting that a lot of the women who posted comments, I actually know of several people within my circle who are going through not necessarily every single one of those secret things going on, but maybe one or two or maybe a combination of those. And I was just amazed at how prevalent this kind of thing is.
Yeah, I didn't realize how prevalent it was until I had gone through my own journey. And you know, what people often do is, you know, in trying to feel better, particularly women. I don't know so much about men, but women try to reach out to other women or to try to help make sense of their life that's just been turned inside out. And I would find in these discussions that a lot of people have gone through similar, you know, things. And it's really, and everybody had their own way of dealing with things. Some more constructive than others, some more destructive than the others. But ultimately, it was my goal to get through it with some semblance of myself intact and in a way that was healthy for my own kids. So, but yes,
yeah,
you're right, it's very prevalent. It really
I was shocked, but then again, like I say, I know several people within my circle who are again going through kinds of things, and I don't have that that great of a circle, you know. So I mean, it was one of those things. I'd like to talk about a few aspects of it. First of all, you know, I want to really kind of talk about the anger and the rage, and I indicated in the introduction that, you know, it is it's kind of like vital to going through this process that you don't allow it to change you. I mean, I would think that, you know, kind of being confronted with that kind of betrayal would alter you in some way, you know, kind of really shake up your belief system.
Yeah, I have to admit, initially it did, and I was trying to, you know, I'm a believer and follower of Christ. That's just who I am, and it had me at some times, even though I know what I should be doing as a Christian woman, you know, when I'm dealing with someone who has wronged me or things of that nature. I shouldn't be out there plotting revenge and things of that nature. But I have to tell you, there are times where you kind of rationalize in your head that, you know, God is just going to give me a pass on this one if I do something to this guy for all the hurt that he caused. You start to rationalize these foolish thoughts. And for me, this rage turned into these fantasies that I would have. And it's really unsettling because I come from a background where, you know, it's not me. I'm not the kind of person who likes to run out and hurt people in exchange for them hurting me. I'm not, you hear all the drama on TV and about people, you know, tearing up people's clothes or bleaching clothes or flattening tires or things mm-hmm. of that kind of crazy revenge. I've never been cut from that cloth, but what astounded me was my thoughts that I kept repeating in my mind about how this man needed to die. And that's really such a dark, dark thought that you, as a person who doesn't usually operate with those kind of thoughts, have to come to terms with. Like, I'm having these really dark thoughts about this person who has wronged me, because it's beyond just the wrong, it's the continual wrong that happens after the initial wrong, and you just get filled up with all these dark thoughts that for me turned into these fantasies about this man being put out of his misery. And so
that putting you out of your misery.
And put me out of my misery as well. But you're absolutely right. But it was unsettling that I was walking around with those thoughts and fantasizing about this man getting wrapped around a tree in a car accident or getting hit by buses or things of that nature. And it's just so not a positive trait to admit at all.
Yeah.
So you can't walk around like that. So it was altering me in that way with that anger and rage, and I had to come to terms with that and come to terms with how that was spilling out of me and out of my own pores and how I was dealing with my own kids and people around me, because ultimately you can't let somebody else's wrong change who you are, the positive parts of you, and I was allowing that, and I had to put a stop to that.
Yeah, I can see where, you know, the instinct, you know, might be to, you know, to kind of get back and to right the wrong, you know, so to speak, mm-hmm. you know, that was mm-hmm. kind of done. You're right that, you know, if we sometimes allow those kinds of things to change us, you know, and it really impacts everyone around us. I mean, like you say, you know, kids, friends, acquaintances, coworkers, all of that kind of thing. So it really kind of permeates your life and really kind of changes the person as an individual. And that's not attractive at all, is it?
No, it really isn't. But you get, it's easy to get caught up in your own outrage. Because you feel justified in your anger, and it spills over into all these areas where you walk around angry and feel justified in doing so, even though the people around you weren't the authors of that distress that you are experiencing. So it's really unfair to them. So it's really easy to get selfish in that way, and allow everybody to experience your level of upset. It really is easy to fall into that trap.
Yeah. Now, if you could take us back. Now, first of all, one of the things you said, you know, it was really beyond the initial betrayal, but it really kind of was the continuing pattern of behavior that really was kind of at the root of that. So if you wouldn't mind, take us back, because, you know, we may have people out there listening who are kind of right at that point in life where they recognize that they have this kind of individual, you know, in their life, their spouse or committed other is right there.
Mm-hmm.
What how did you start to shift away from that anger and hatred? What was it? I mean, because you obviously there was some point that you realized that, hey, you know, I don't want this anymore. I don't like who I see, you know, and I want that to change. So, kind of, if you wouldn't mind, take us back to that point in your life when that happened and how you kind of worked your way toward forgiveness.
It's interesting for me. I got a couple of, you know, light bulb moments at around the same time. One was a situation where I was seeing my kids starting to dislike their dad, and not solely for what he did to me and the family, but for things he's overheard, things that they overheard me saying about him when I'm on the phone to people trying to, you know, bend their ear on this man's transgressions and things of that nature. And so I saw that, and I know I couldn't play a role in poisoning my kids any more than I already had, number one. And secondly, this man who was, you know, along with some of the things that you've described that the main character in the book had encountered, Lisa Alexander, who's the main character in the book, parallels some of the things that I encountered. And this man was starting to exact his own revenge for my decision not to go forward with him in a relationship. After experiencing some of those sort of, you know, negative actions, such as bringing the mistress to the children's games and saying some really unkind things like, you know, she's all that you used to be, she's better, she's prettier, she's this and that, all those things that to someone who is really full and ready to blow is not a kind thing to say to somebody. And after experiencing that, I realized, and I was told that my blood pressure had gone up. I had gotten angry with him once, and my arm had gotten numb. So I said, okay, who is suffering here? My kids are suffering. I'm suffering. I've got to make this change. He's still the same guy living his life and doing what he's doing, but yet we're all suffering, so we all need to make a shift. And so that's when I made the conscious decision that we need to make this shift, and that's when the hard work began. Actually.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering because, you know, once you get to that point that you recognize that, you know, things have to change, you know, one of the things, you know, after having been in, you know, a relationship for as long as you have, the two things come to mind right away. And one is, like you said, the idea of exacting revenge, you know, and and really trying to make the split as difficult as possible for you, you know. And then the other thing that I wonder is, you know, having it been such a long period of time, it's kind of like there's so much to undo, you know, as separation, that kind of thing. So during that period, you know, you came to that decision to split. How did you, one, kind of minimize, you know, the idea of his probable, I mean, you know, the negative reaction? And then the other thing is, how did you work your way into becoming independent again?
Well, it took place over a series of, you know, months, years, depending on. It wasn't instantaneous, and I don't want people believing that. But I can tell you that for me, what I had to do was, first of all, really embrace the definition of forgiveness itself. And the definition of forgiveness is the act of making a deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance towards someone who hurt you, irrespective of whether they deserve it or whether they've asked for forgiveness. And so I had to embrace that. Like, can I do that? How do I release these feelings of resentment or vengeance toward someone who's hurt me so badly and hurt my kids so badly? And what I had to come to terms with was knowing that forgiving someone doesn't mean that you're accepting their bad behavior, and it doesn't mean that they cannot, that should not be held accountable for the wrong that they've done. But what it does mean is that you got to take active steps to not continue to participate in your own victimization. And what I mean by that is that you have to stop getting on the phone, like I was initially, getting on the phone, talking to your girlfriends about what no good, dirty, blah, 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 blah this particular individual is. And mm-hmm. and you have to, stop bending people, every person's ear who's willing to hear you about your woes. And because every time you go to that place and you talk about the bad behavior and how hurt you were, it brings you back into that place where everything was so raw and everything stings so much. So what I decided was, instead of doing that and participating in my own victimization, what I needed to do was create an image in my mind of what I wanted my life to look like after I got past this upset. And for me, and although my family teases me, I got this big vision board. I got this very big vision board about the kind of person I would like in my life in the future if I ever thought about,
going there
falling
again.
In love again and doing all that kind of stuff. I made a very detailed list that I put on my vision board that all my family kept teasing me, kept saying, "That's Jesus that you're describing. There's no human being who can meet those qualifications." And I put other things in my life that I would want, you know, obviously the big things like good health for me and my children and all the people who are in my life who are important to me, and debt freedom, and that, you know, you can live in a way where the stress in your life is minimized and things of that nature. And as soon as I changed my focus, it gave me something else to strive for. And as long as you've got something else to do to busy your mind that's mm-hmm. positive, it minimizes the sting that you're feeling until it eventually evaporates. That's one thing that I did. And another thing I did was to tell myself that his betrayal of me was not personal. The reality is that my betrayer was broken long before he walked into my life. And I had to come to terms with that. It's not something he did to me. He did because he's dealing with his own dysfunction or his own brokenness. And as soon as I could see him in that way, and know that those flaws that he has are not because he's some evil monster, but because he's simply a broken individual, just like many of us are. And mm-hmm. and it allowed me to switch gears and even have compassion for him at some level, compassion enough to be able to pray for him. And when all those factors are working all together, it started to minimize the pain, and it started to kind of propel me forward to, the next phase in my life, which is really positive. So, that's what I did.
Well, now that vision board, did you do that vision board while you were with him? I mean, did he see this? Okay. So this was
no. He has not. He, okay. And to my knowledge, he has yet to lay his eyes on my vision board. Because after finding out about the betrayal, which is very similar to what Lisa Alexander in the book finds out about the secret women, the secret cars, the secret homes, the secret kids, and things of that nature. For me, that was something I wasn't willing to work through. It doesn't mean that I didn't forgive him ultimately. It just means that it changed the course of our lives where he's living a life that's apart from me. And I want people to understand that Forgiveness, you know, every person's different. Some, there are a lot of women who they forgive their husbands and they remain with their husbands. And there are another segment of people who forgive their husbands, but they choose not to remain with their husbands. I'm in the latter group. And that's an individual decision, but it doesn't mean that the forgiveness is any less potent. I wanted just to say that for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, well, that's good, because I just wanted to kind of, you know, be real clear on that, you know, for people going through that. Well, Carla, we're about halfway through the show. We're kind of zipping right through. So I want to take just a quick couple-minute break. And again, if anyone would like to ask Carla any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. Or again, if you're listening in the chat room and would like to pose a question, feel free to do so there. And then, Carla, when we come back, your book indicates that there are 18 lessons on the journey to forgiveness. So when we come back, I would like to maybe discuss two or three of those, if we could, just to give the listeners a good idea of kind of what the book contains, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Hi, it's Maya at Mind Over Matter in Nyack, New York. I'd just like to take a moment to share with you how amazing I found Robert Sharpe's book, Joy Potential. It kind of found me at a time when I was feeling out of sorts and overwhelmed and I guess derailed by the pressures of my career and my large family and caregiving and ailing husband. I just really felt like my spark was dimming. It was a perfect time for me to pick up Joy Potential, because as I just in the first few pages began to read, I found that my frame of mind wasn't so different from others dealing with challenges and the trials and tribulations of life. I guess my first feeling was that I wasn't alone, and with that I began to open more to receive the message that Robert gave of light and love and positive thinking. That's what Joy Potential is all about. His thoughts are beautifully written, and everyone, whether you're going through your own personal challenges, should read it. His message was certainly well received from me, and I'm thankful for his insight and his caring and really helping me to get back on track. I think everyone should put Joy Potential on the top of their reading list. Love and light. Thank you.
For more information or to purchase your copy of Joy Potential, visit www.joybook.me. That's joybook.me.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for staying with us. Again, thank you to Maya from Mind Over Matter for that testimonial. I greatly appreciate it. Joy Potential, as well as my new book, It's No Secret, Spirituality Bites, along with my 2015 calendar, Dare to Dream, are all available at my website, www.biteradio.me. Okay, we're going to get back to today's show. And again, my very special guest is Carla L. Garrett. And we are talking about her book, Bouncing Back After Dropping the Ball, 18 Life Lessons on the Journey to Forgiveness. And again, you can find out more about Carla and her book by visiting her website, which is carlalgarrett.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. And so with that, we're back, Carla.
Awesome. Hi.
Great. Welcome back. Yes. You took my words right out of my mouth. Okay. 18 lessons. So if you wouldn't mind, share a few. I mean, what are kind of maybe the top two or three lessons that, that are contained in the book and that are really, that you have found beneficial for people who have read your book?
Well, I've actually shared one of the lessons with you already, although
okay.
I didn't tell you, and that was don't participate in your own victimization. So that's one of them. But, and I provide lessons again, on the journey. So there are lessons at the beginning that deal with someone who is just finding out about betrayal, all the way to the end where they've mastered forgiveness. So earlier on, one of the first lessons is don't participate in your own victimization.
Okay.
But as you are midway through the process, another lesson you should know is something I call, valleys and mountaintops, that this period in your life that you are going through that's not so pleasant when you're finding out about a ugly betrayal and you're questioning your whole life and your decision, your ability to make decisions or to pick good people in your life, and whatever it is, whether it's, a broken relationship with a husband and wife or mother-daughter or siblings or what have you, that period of distress that you're going through is not all in vain. It is also there for you to, in your what I call your valley experience, to learn some really valuable lessons that you're going to need for that next journey or that next season of your life. And so I guess I say that don't despise the bad times so much where you're not getting the lesson that you're supposed to learn, because after you learn that lesson, that's when you rise back up to the mountaintop again. And then hopefully as you do that, you can pull somebody else up with the lessons that you've learned along the way, just trying to make somebody else's burden a little lighter. So I share that lesson to just stop and just let go of the anger for a moment and figure out what lesson am I supposed to be learning, and then be a good steward of those lessons and be prepared to share them with others, because your suffering is not in vain. It's for you to serve somebody else in a good and positive way.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I can understand, that that valley for, for like 16 years, or longer, 20 years, mm-hmm. That's a big valley, and like Death Valley, I'm going to cross that one.
Yes.
When you're kind of in that valley, it seems that, you say it's to recognize that there are lessons to be learned, and, it's kind of like there's, while you're there, just kind of absorb what you can. Did you ever find yourself kind of hitting yourself on the head, thinking, why did I wait so long? I mean, why in the world did
Absolutely. I felt like I was, it took me a while. Well, let me just preface this by saying it didn't take me 16 years to learn the lesson. When I spoke about the valley experience here, it's just the betrayal and afterwards, where you are so heartbroken. And you're really outside of yourself. You are questioning everything about yourself, and you question whether you're stupid or not, for not picking up on signs that everybody says you should be picking up on, and things of that nature, where you're beating yourself up. When you stop and just take a breath and look and say, okay, what is this upheaval in my life? What am I supposed to learn from that? And I've learned that when you stop and take that moment to reflect on that and really do some insightful thinking, you can extract yourself from that valley experience a lot sooner, as opposed to staying stuck and being on this and going through the same kind of drama every day about getting on the phone and complaining or just focusing and being obsessed with the bad that the person's done to you. So that's kind of what I meant about the valley experience.
Oh, okay. Well, and that's good. I mean, because, from the time of the insight and the, the acknowledgement, that, the journey together is not going to be long lasting, and from that particular point to the point of of separation. I mean, you know, where you know the lives are separate. You know, that can be. I would think that after if you're involved for a long period of time, that that whole process from acknowledgement to separation could also be a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be. Clearly, every person's different. But for me, it felt like it was a long time before I finally figured it out. Like, oh, wait a minute, I'm supposed to learn something from this. What is that? What am I supposed to learn in this? And come to terms with the fact that this is not something he's done to me. You know, this is something that he's just done. And what am I supposed to take from it? And I learn all these wonderful things about myself that I'm a pretty strong chick, I learned. And I learned that if I can survive this, I can survive just about anything. And I did it without going to jail, which is a nice thing. And I also wanted it to be very clear in the book that, you know, we as Christians hold ourselves to a standard that is really good for the most part, but sometimes it could be a little detrimental in that you're believing that you should have purer thoughts or purer motives, and you just don't, and you're having trouble trying to control those thoughts, and it makes some Christian people feel as though they are failing in their walk with Christ, and I just wanted to be as transparent as I could in the book, where other people going through similar things could say, wait a minute, I've got my, you know, I know the word, I understand, I've got a really strong background in the church, but yet I'm having these thoughts that are not okay. But it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with me necessarily. It just means that I'm experiencing something that other people have experienced, and I said, she got through it. I know that I can get through it too, and not have to question whether I'm really truly a Christian or not because I'm harboring some really unfavorable thoughts about someone who hurt me.
Yeah, anyone who follows really any faith, you know, or any kind of spiritual path, you know, really does look at, you know, trying to follow you know a path of goodwill, you know, and action, and you know, when life hands you situations or circumstances that put that to the test, you know, I could see where it would be a challenge. But then you know, and I think from, you know, what you're saying as far as you know, the strength and the knowledge, you know, to me that seems like, gosh, it seems that the longer that one would go through challenge, that the stronger that they become. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it's like a test of endurance, I guess, is a way of saying it. Yeah.
Right. You're absolutely right. And you know what? And this kind of dovetails into another lesson I wanted to share with you, and that is practice, practice, practice. Forgiving someone, particularly someone who's done something really, really horribly wrong to you, is not a natural process. You know, the primal urges in us want to do other things to this person other than just say, oh, bless his heart, I forgive you. I find it in my case didn't quite work out like that. But I want people to understand that just because you've forgiven that person that one time for that one transgression doesn't mean that you're done forgiving him. It means that they may do other things that you have to step and forgive too, and you've got to keep forgiving and make it your practice. And as you continue with that practice of forgiving, it's like building your spiritual muscles. And when you're, you know, and, you know, you need repetition to build those muscles if you're in the gym. You just need to continue building those muscles. And what it does is it just kind of oozes out of you and spreads into other areas of your life where you are forgiving people for things you didn't realize that you were holding or harboring any resentment against them for. And it starts to free you and liberate you at levels that you didn't even know that you needed such liberation. So it's a real positive thing. You just have to keep practicing on forgiving. Don't just think I've been forgiving you once and everything is over. No. Continue.
Yeah. And really get to that point of what you called is true forgiveness, you know, in the sense of, mm-hmm. you know, of not harboring that resentment, you know, because, quite often I've heard people say the words, you know, of, you know, apology and forgiveness and that kind of thing. But mm-hmm. sometimes you can tell the heart isn't behind it. But that
Absolutely.
Needs to be the case.
Absolutely. And that comes with, I said, you know, like I said, practice. And practice means, you know, looking at that person, trying to figure out what's broken in them that caused them to engage in that behavior in the first place, having compassion for that person, and maybe even extending a prayer for that person's, you know, healing or fixing of that problem that causes him to or her to act in that certain way. And when you do that and you're in line with your Creator, It you guys feel like you're conspiring to make the world a little bit better, and it's nice to feel like you're part of something positive. So I agree.
Well, gosh, Carla, we're down to the last few minutes. Our time here has just flown by, and we want to make sure that you get back from your lunch on time. So if there are maybe any final words that you might want to give the listeners of maybe, you know, what you hope that someone will get, you know, take away from reading your book, and maybe who do you feel would be probably benefit the most from reading your book?
I first of all, anybody in a relationship would benefit from this. If you've ever been hurt, only people you're in relationship with can hurt you at those levels. Anybody in a relationship where they've been hurt by the person who told them that they loved them, whether it's mother, father, sister, brother, boyfriend, husband, whatever, they are a candidate for reading this book if they're having some trouble trying to get past an upset with that person. It will serve to liberate them and free them from the bondage they harbor in that resentment, because it's just not healthy to carry that around with you. And if I have one final thing to say, I would just say that whatever you're going through, just remember, you know, God's is working all that out in your favor, working it all out, you know, for your good. And that ultimately you're going to be the victor in all of this, and you're going to be a better person because of it.
So keep your eye on that ball, right? Instead of dropping
Absolutely.
It, correct?
Absolutely. Keep your eye on the ball, on the prize.
Great. Well, Carla, thank you very much for your time today. I've really enjoyed our chat, and I know that today's show will be helping people, and for that I thank you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you having me.
You're welcome. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Carla L. Garrett, and we have been talking about her book, Bouncing Back After Dropping the Ball, 18 Lessons on the Journey of Forgiveness. Again, you can find out more about Carla and her book by visiting her website, which is www.carlalgarrett.com. Again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show, and until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.